Well, I need your prayers this morning. I need the blessing of the Lord upon His Word. I'm thankful it's different now.
Yes.
I'm thankful this salvation works.
Yes.
That it really does something for us. That we're not just wasting our time or going through the motions. I'd like to look at a passage in the book of Luke, chapter 12. Burden that the Lord has given me. Seemed like as I was driving here, the Lord began opening it up some more to me and felt like He'd have me to share it with you. So trust that it'll be a blessing and a help to us. 12th chapter of Luke. Beginning with the 54th verse. And He said also to the people, when ye see a cloud rise out of the west, straightway ye say, there cometh a shower, and so it is. When ye see the south wind blow, ye say, there will be heat, and it cometh to pass. Ye hypocrites, ye can discern the face of the sky and of the earth. But how is it that you do not discern this time? As was already mentioned in the service, Jesus' interest, what He was focused on trying to deal with, went much deeper than what they were looking at here. It went much further than a man being concerned about his inheritance. It went much further than being able to have the skills of life that might be necessary to carry out a trade. Maybe it's farming or maybe it's fishing, and I want to be able to know how to schedule my day and what to do accordingly and be able to look at the sky and look at the conditions of the weather and be able to make an assessment by that here's what's likely to happen because of it. I see these signs. I see a cloud in the sky, and it's the way that it looks, it lets me know by experience from what I've seen, it's likely to bring rain. The other gospel that this is brought out in, I believe Matthew, said that they were seeking a sign. They came to Jesus tempting Him, seeking that He would show them some sign. Now Jesus carried forth many miracles. And He worked those miracles, He said, that ye might believe that I have been sent from the Father. And so people were healed. The lame were caused to walk, and the blind received their sight. Legion was set back and restored to his right mind. But yet these people came to Him and said, show us a sign. Remember what Philip said to Jesus one time. Now this was a follower of Jesus. Had been with Jesus and walked with Him, had heard His words, had seen the miracles that Jesus had done. And he said, in my way of considering what he really said, was, Lord, if you'll just show us one more thing. Lord Jesus, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. If you would just help us to be able to see the Father Himself, then that's really all I'll need to seal the deal, to convince me thoroughly of it. Jesus said, have you been so long with me and you haven't seen the Father? Do you really need that I show you yet another sign, yet another evidence, yet something else to convince you? So these people that came to Jesus, show us some sign from heaven. We want to see a miracle. But it said they came to Him tempting Him. Jesus said to them in that passage that there will be no sign given to this generation but the sign of Jonas, which He was likening unto Himself, of the Son of Man. And what I am here before you today. I am your sign. I am the evidence that's before you of what you need, of the answers to your life and the problems of His life. And so He was dealing with those that came to Him, tempting Him. Knowing, of course, their heart, their thoughts, the motives, and what prompted them to even come ask the question. He said, you're able to look and understand. And look at the signs of the weather and of nature around you, and from that, you're able to draw some conclusions and make some determinations and take action upon that. But you hypocrites, there's something so much deeper than that. You need to be able to see. It says in the 57th verse, "Yea, and why even of yourselves judge ye not what is right?" Of all the understanding that you have, yet the most important understanding that you could have. Look around at the times. Don't you realize that this is your day of salvation? And as later he looked out over Jerusalem and he said, you didn't realize that this was the day of your visitation. You didn't. The signs were all around you. The evidence, the miracles, the words that touched your heart, that pricked you, that bore witness that there's something to what this man is saying. It was there before you. What more? I thought of what is said in Isaiah, the 5th chapter. A man planted a vineyard, and he sowed and planted grapes, and he looked that it should bring forth grapes, but it brought forth wild grapes. And he looked on that and he said, what more could I have done that I have not done? What more could I have invested in it? What more could I possibly have done? Is the fault on the Lord's part? The Lord wants every one of us today to be successful. The Lord wants us in our lives, in our walk with Him, even more, I believe, than sometimes we desire it ourselves. I want you to succeed. I want you to prosper spiritually. What more could I do? So I was thinking about this passage of discerning the signs of the times. You know, that's important for us. Important to be able to look and understand the times that we live in, to look at the condition of our nation, to see the spiritual indicators. And Jesus, of course, said that in the last days, there'll be signs, there'll be evidence of it. You need to be able to discern that. Don't be oblivious to it. Don't just walk through life and be swept along with the crowd and everyone else and don't have understanding by what you're looking at to realize the spiritual impact, the implication, what's going on beyond just what's visible, but to be able to see the spirit that's working behind a thing. You need to be able to discern the signs of the time. You know, as the Lord was bringing this to me, though, it caused me to realize what's really important about this discernment is not just to look out there and say, our world's in trouble. You know, there are many people that realize that something's wrong here. Our nation's out of control. Things have changed, and I don't know what it is about people. They just don't have the respect that they used to have, and they realize something's missing. I've talked with those that could talk to you for hours, explaining to you all that's going on in our nation and tell you of what the government's trying to do here and behind the scenes, and you need to be able to realize that there's more than what you see on the surface and make preparation. This is coming, and you better start stockpiling on groceries and ammunition and on this kind of thing and make preparation. There's more than what you're able to see here. There's an underlying motive of our government or of this party or this people, and you need to make adjustments for it. And looking at all those things, and whether there's truth to some of that or not, I'm not here to say. But they're able to look and make assessments like that. But yet I've seen them in all of that overlook the condition of their own soul. You're missing it. You're missing the most important thing. You need to be able to have discernment of the times. But what Jesus was saying here, how is it that you look around and you have so much wisdom of earthly things? You're able to look around and you're able to discern things that pertain unto this life. But yet you miss the most important thing. You're not able to look, as says, you cannot discern of yourselves to judge what is right. Not able to look at it and see, how does it affect me? Proverbs talks about the ant. Go to the ant, thou sluggard. Consider her ways. Doesn't have a ruler, doesn't have one that tells it you it's time to get up, it's time to get to work. But Abel, God instilled within it the understanding to know now is the time to prepare. That time is coming. The season is coming that I won't be able to gather food. I need to make preparation for it now. Go to the ant. If the ant can discern, it can understand things that says I need to take action. Should we be able to as well? Should we be able to look on things in a spiritual sense? And the burden that I have this morning is spiritual indicators. Should we be able to look and assess spiritual things?
Yes.
Lord, I can see our nation's in trouble. But Lord, what does that mean for me?
Right.
Lord, I can look at all the other people around me. And I can realize they're in trouble. I never do that. And I can't believe that people can't see this part of our nation and our decay. But yet, I'm not able to look right here.
Right.
I'm not able to realize, you know, maybe the devil's dealt me a sleight of hands. Maybe while I was so focused on our nation and the problems all around it, I didn't realize that he slipped in the back door. And by the same spirit that he's working over here, the master of disguise, he slipped something else in my life to try to leaven, to try to influence me by that same spirit. Lord, give us understanding and discernment to be able to see not just the things about us, but Lord, help me to see me. Lord, help me to be able to look and understand the things that I see in my life. There are indicators that the Lord gives us. I'd like to look at the 22nd chapter of Proverbs. Proverbs 22. Third verse. A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. The man that has wisdom is able to look at a situation and discern, as we've heard, it seemed like almost a theme throughout the meeting, be able to see and understand the dangers. Be able to look on the places that ought to tell me there's something coming down the road.
Yes.
There's going to be an effect here. There's something here that cause and effect. If I do this, there's going to be an effect down the road. The prudent man is able to look, not oblivious, not like the simple man that just goes, the seventh chapter of Proverbs talks about the simple man. He goes by the corner of the foolish woman, the wicked woman. And he's so oblivious. He's so oblivious to the danger of his own soul. And he's led like an ox to the slaughter. Oblivious. Doesn't see what's coming his way. But the prudent man, the man that has wisdom, is able to look at that thing and say, there's danger in it. There's something that's headed my way. There's something that's coming down the road. I'm able to look at the situation and see the signs of it. Lord, give us wisdom. Give us discernment and understanding to say, not only do I see it, what good would it be for the ant to be able to realize somehow in the understanding, if I could put it that way, that God gives an ant, winter's coming. I think I'll kick back and enjoy the sunshine. That wisdom and understanding would do no good if I didn't take action upon it. If I didn't see that and say, I need to make some adjustments here. I need to do something to take action. And so the prudent man sees the evil that's coming. And he says, I'm going to do something about it for my own self. I need to put some safeguards in my life. I need to make some adjustments in my life. I need to make sure that I'm responding to what the Lord gives me understanding of. In every one of our vehicles, there's an instrument panel. Tells us what the fuel level is. Tells us what our speed is. Maybe it tells the RPM, speed of the engine. Probably has a temperature gauge of some kind. And what you're not able to see, unless something goes wrong, is a lot of warning lights that are embedded in that instrument panel. So that if something goes wrong, a light will come on. That is designed for us as the driver to be able to understand what's going on with my car. I would venture to say that not very many of us could probably explain with great technical detail how all the systems of our car work. How the coolant system works and the engine and the transmission and how all of that works and integrates together. But we just take for granted when we turn the key that it's going to crank up. Whenever I put it in gear, I just expect it to go. Whenever I'm driving for 12 hours down the road, I just expect it to maintain its temperature. But there is so much that's going on underneath the hood. If I just look at the external of the car, and I just get in and I put it in gear and I expect it to go, and I think I heard the illustration earlier in the meeting of, what if I didn't put any oil in my car? Oh, that's not important. I can't see it. I get in and I put it in gear and it still goes. And I go down the road. But you know, you'll begin to see something happen with that indicator. Spiritual indicators.
Yes.
The Lord wants us to be able to know before the smoke is rolling out from under the hood, something's wrong. I don't want to wait until my car sputters somewhere out in the middle of nowhere. And then I look at the gauge and I say, oh, my light's been on. My needle's on empty. And now I'm 50 miles from the nearest gas station. I'm out in the middle of nowhere and I'm on the side of the road.
Right.
You know, I fear people handle their own souls that way.
Yes.
That I look and I just take for granted things will just work the way they ought to work. I get saved and I just expect to be able to put it on cruise and just go down the road and not have to do anything more. The Lord wants us to look at the indicators. I don't want to wait until I smell that burning smell. I don't want to wait until I see white smoke coming out. And then I look at the temperature gauge and say, whoa, I've never seen it that high. It's too late really to do anything about it then. That's not the time to get out. You try taking the cap off then. The radiator and add some coolant. And maybe if you catch it in time, you can put some water in and get to where you need to go. But I don't want to wait until then. The instrument panel is designed to tell me you've got a problem that's starting to develop. You need to deal with it.
Right.
I was driving down the road one time. Again, you just don't think of what all's happening under that hood to get you where you're going. Driving our college car, little Geo Metro. Driving down to LaRonger. We were in Arkansas and making good time and enjoying the drive, and all of a sudden I heard a under the hood. So this isn't good. And I pull off and my belt had broke. Going down the highway. There's no going on then. That stops you in your tracks. I hadn't planned for that. I didn't want to have to deal with a belt that was broken. I didn't know any mechanics in the area. But all of a sudden I was put in a place. I've stopped by the side of the road. I can't go anywhere. I've got to deal with it now. There's no going on now and ignoring it. You know, if I would have taken the time, open up the hood, check the condition of the belt, I might have noticed some cracks in it. I might would have noticed a little bit of wear. Some indicators. There's trouble down the road here. If you don't take care of it, if you don't deal with it now, before it becomes a big issue, then you'll find yourself on the side of the road. You're going to find yourself stranded spiritually. Spiritual indicators. You know the Lord gives us indicators.
Thank the Lord.
Something's wrong.
Yes.
You ever sometimes find yourself in a place that, what is wrong with everybody? You know that needle might be starting to peg out.
Yes.
It might be time for me to say, Lord, maybe it's not everybody else.
Yes.
Lord, show me myself.
Yes.
Lord, am I looking at the signs? Am I reading the indicator gauges right? Is my temperature beginning to rise? I just don't have the desire that I used to have. It's hard for me to get up and to go to service, to get my Bible out and read. It's just a chore. It's just something I can't hardly bring myself to do it. You know, your fuel gauge might be starting to drop. We could look at that and we could get discouraged. You know what? I put gas in the car a week ago. And here I go. I got to put it in again. I'm just going to go down the road. I'm tired of having to refuel. You know, that's part of it.
Yes.
Maintenance is part of it.
Right.
Keeping up with the engine, keeping up with my spirituality is part of it.
Yes.
There's no shameful thing about going back to the well.
No.
Lord, I need to refill.
Right.
Lord, I'm feeling like I'm empty here. I don't have the power that I used to have. Lord, I don't have the desire. And Lord, it's hard for me and I'm struggling here. And the things of this world, I'm starting to find myself drawn to it a little more. Lord, I don't know what's going on. I worked for a company that's a major jet engine manufacturer. I am fascinated by jet engines. Always have been, I guess, as an engineer and studying some about gas-powered engines. And I go and I see those engines that the intake of the engine, the fan, is taller than floor to ceiling here. Can stand inside the engine and the big fan blades and the compressor and the combustor, and to find out about the temperatures of it, maybe it bores you, but to see the way that it works and to know that one of those engines can produce 120,000 pounds of thrust and catapult a large jetliner down the runway and up into the air with an aircraft full of passengers. You know, when you get on that plane, you just take for granted that engine's going to keep running.
Right.
When I flew overseas for the first time, I started thinking about it a little bit. I hope we did a good job. I hope we were thorough. I sure hope our inspections were good on those because there are cracks that can develop in some of these blades and the temperatures that they go through. So we borescope them. We go in and we look with what's the equivalent of a microscope. Look at every individual blade. In the process of this engine running or in manufacturing, was it maybe dropped? And is there a hairline crack in it? You know, hairline cracks have led to engine failures. Engine failures have led to aircraft going into the ground. It's small. There's nothing to it. You know, I could be in a hurry. My boss could be pressuring me. We got to get this engine out the door. You know what? It looks like a crack. I don't know. We're in a hurry. Likely it'll never turn into anything more than that. All right, go ahead and close the engine up. Let's ship it out. There have been things as small as a little fuel filter this big. Someone leaves the fuel filter out or lets a little contamination in it. Those fuel lines get clogged. The engine shuts down. The aircraft goes down. We heard about root cause analysis. The FAA certainly does that. When a jet engine crashes into the ground, all the passengers are lost. What happened here? What happened? It's really too late to ask what happened then. There's importance in it because we don't want it to happen again. But for the lives of those that were on that aircraft, there's really no good saying it's too late now. There's no going back in and cleaning that fuel filter out now. But they go back and look and they begin to ask questions and take the remains and the scrap and shrapnel and all this all around the crash site and assess it and finally narrow it down, this little fuel filter. This little bitty filter contaminated it. Somebody could have stopped it. Somebody could have looked at the indicator and said, there's trouble ahead.
Yes.
Dealt with it, done the right thing. We test our engines. Maybe you remember a few years ago in New York City. There was an aircraft that took off, flew through a flock of geese, ingested the geese into the engines, and the engines shut down. The pilot was able to steer the aircraft and land on the Hudson River. And all the lives were saved. But whenever we're building a jet engine, we have to look at those kind of things. We have to just say, not only when conditions are right, not only when it's just smooth flying, but what would happen if a blade went out? What would happen if birds were sucked into the engine? Would it still run? What if you're going through a thunderstorm, a hailstorm? Would the engine still run? I don't want to get on an aircraft that they tested on a sunny day and it seemed to work all right. And all of a sudden when I get on and I'm flying overseas, I'm going through a thunderstorm. And they didn't test it in that condition. And so we mounted on big stands and we have cannons. If you're sensitive to animals, I'm sorry. But they launch birds into the engine. For a reason. I want to be able to know before this engine is mounted on a jet and it's carrying 200 people through the air, is our engine designed in such a way that it's still going to run? Oh, well, that one thing that's thrown into it, is it going to cause it to come apart and shut down and have to crash? So we test it. And there's an engineer that's sitting in the control panel there and looking at all kinds of gauges. And they're looking at the temperatures through the engine. They're looking at the pressures. They're looking at vibrations. They're looking at the speed of the engine. And all these things, as that thing passes through it, they're able to look and say, this is normal. This is normal. That's too high. There's a problem. Shut it down. We've got to deal with that before we go on. Lord ever test you? You know, whenever we face hard times in life,
yes,
we should be able to look at the spiritual indicators. Lord, how am I doing?
Yes.
Lord, I had to deal with this difficult person. How did I handle it?
Right.
You'll never know if you have the grace that you need unless it's tested.
That's right.
Yes.
You'll never know if you have the patience that you need. If you have the faith that you need.
Right.
Unless it's tested.
Right.
How are our spiritual indicators? Proverbs 14 and 8, beginning of the scripture, says the wisdom of the prudent is to understand his way. In all the wisdom that I could obtain, it's not to be able to design a jet engine. It's not to be able to look at the condition of our country and tell all the trouble that other people are in. But it's to understand my way.
Right.
It's to understand, Lord, how are these things affecting me? Lord, what's the danger for me? What are the indicators in my life reading? Are there signs in our life that say there could be trouble? You need to change the oil.
Amen.
You know, we can come, we may not be able to understand how a jet engine operates. But there are indicators. There are dials there on the dash and it says that it should be between this and this. They say if this isn't reading right, there's something wrong. Bring it back to the shop where the people that know the engine, that designed the engine, that built the engine, can look at it and say, here's exactly what it is. You know, sometimes I can say, Lord, I don't know what's wrong. I don't know what's wrong with me. I don't know why I'm feeling the way I'm feeling. I don't know why I reacted that way. I don't know why my desire just isn't there anymore. You know, you can bring it back to the shop. Why are you here today? Do I want the Lord to perform a diagnostic check on me? Lord, I want you to see, am I running right? Am I operating the way that you want me? I want my Lord to be satisfied with me, as the song said. Lord, I want to know. I don't want to go telling myself a little bit. Speaking of check engine lights, you know those things are annoying. I have sold vehicles before. Here's the danger of it. I've sold vehicles before and the person comes and they want to look over the truck or walk around it, kick the tires, whatever they want to do. They start it up and they say, well, what's this check engine light? I say, oh, is there a check engine light on? I didn't notice. You know, if you drive long enough and you don't deal with it, if I just keep going down the road and maybe I'll roll the window down and stick my head out and listen. Nah, it's still running. Keep on going. Sounds like everything's all right. I'm still going down the road. I can just ignore the check engine light. And I keep going and I get in the car, start it up next. Oh, I need to take care of that check. I wonder what that is. And then I keep on going. Next time, maybe I think about it. I ought to check that out sometime. And I keep going. You know, sooner or later, we become desensitized. If we see something over and over and over. I heard I enjoy trying to hunt. Don't consider myself to be very successful at it. But I read one place. The way that it's important to be able to get in undetected. Nothing like getting in and almost to your blind and you see whitetails flap and running off. If you can get into your stand without the deer being able to detect you. So I read the one way to do it. If you're working or wanting to hunt around an area where there's a field that a farmer works, if you can get on the tractor with the farmer, because the farmer goes by every day and he makes his rounds and the deer become desensitized to that, I've seen it over and over and over. I don't think anything about the tractor. I might think something of someone dressed like a tree walking into the woods. But the tractor, I don't think anything of. And so if you get on the tractor and you ride to where you want to go and then you slip off, you can go undetected. Why is that? You see something over and over and over. Deer in urban areas, they become desensitized to danger. They can be right in your yard, right next to a highway with cars flying down it, and they don't think a thing about it. Become desensitized. You know we can too. I can get to the place that I'm content with my condition. I seem to be getting along all right. I'm still going forward. I'm still trying to live for the Lord. I know it's not quite running just right, but I know it's all right. I know there's a check engine light on. There's something that whenever I come to service, I feel a little prick. Yes. I feel a little check. But I think I'll be all right. I think I can still go down the road. Sooner or later, you'll forget that check engine light's on. Or worse yet, again guilty. You can take little black electrical tape and put right over the check engine light. And I don't have to look at it anymore. I haven't dealt with the problem, but I'm at least not seeing it anymore. You know, I fear people do that with their soul. I'm tired of seeing the warning lights. I'm tired of seeing the indicators. I don't want to go in. Maybe it'll cost a little too much. I don't like spending money at a mechanic. I don't like it. My tendency has been, well, can I get by with it? Is it a safety issue? And if it's not, I don't really need to take care of it. I'll keep going. Maybe it's going to cost me a little too much. Maybe I'm going to have to give a little too much of myself. Maybe I come and I'm just not willing to take care of it right now. You ever have a leaking tire? Probably heard the analogy before. A slow leak. You get in and you're going to work and you realize my tire's low. I go put some air in it and I go on and I'm just fine. And I don't even think about the tire now. Until that morning a few days later I go out and my tire's flat. And I've got to air it up. Don't go through life that way. Watch the indicators. Some of our vehicles now have pressure gauges for the tires right on the dash. When you see the pressure dropping, plug the leak. Fix it. Let's take care of the problems. Whenever the Lord checks me, whenever He shows me you've got a leak here, what you have on hand is starting to leak out. Let's deal with it.
Amen.
Let's take care of the problem. Let's pay attention to the indicators.
Yes.
I want to deal with that. I want to fix it. I don't want to go through life just patching things up. See those vehicles sometimes and they've got duct tape holding mirrors on and they've got a rope holding the hood down and Lord, help me not to be lazy with my spiritual experience. I'm going to do the least possible that I have to do to try to keep rolling down the road. I want to deal with it. I want to fix it. I want to be in a place that I say, Lord, search me. Try me. Lord, hook me up to the diagnostic equipment. If you allow me to continue the analogy, analyze what I'm not able to see, what I'm not able to fully understand. The heart of a man, who can know it? Who can really know the way we think? Why we think what we think, as we heard. All those kind of things. Lord, you do. I can take it back. Maybe I don't know why the jet engine's acting like it is, but I can take it back to the one that designed it. Lord, I'm coming back to you. Lord, you know why I think the way I think. You know all about me. Lord, you know why there's just something not right here. Lord, I want to take care of it. I want to mind the checks. I want to deal with those places in my life. Sometimes we'll see what we want to see. Remember, we played a little prank on my dad once. We went and bought a set of scales, little analog dial scales that you stand on, and you can adjust the zero point on it. And so we adjusted it so that he stepped on it and set 150 pound, if you know my dad, that wasn't accurate. But you can adjust the setting on it so that it's not true zero. But it'll tell me what I want to believe. I don't want to look at myself that way. I want to believe that I'm this way. I want to be able to put the appearance before others. I want to convince myself, oh, everything's all right. That little knock under the hood, it's nothing. It's that's just the way it does. I don't know. That smoke that's starting to come out, if I go a little faster, maybe I can blow it away. I don't want to convince myself of something that's not so.
Right.
So as we come to a time, a place like this, a meeting like this, I want to be as the man, the Scripture says in James, not a forgetful hearer of the word, but a doer. The man that comes and looks in the mirror, and I see myself the way that I truly am. And I look at that and I want to take care of it. I don't want to deceive myself. I don't want to turn away from the mirror. I don't want to see that. I don't like the way that I feel whenever I feel checked about this. And so I turn my back on it and I look the other way. Scripture says he'll deceive himself. I'll put myself in a place that I no longer notice the check engine light. I no longer notice that I've convinced myself everything's all right. But I want to encourage us today. Check the gauges spiritually. Let's examine ourselves. Let's ask the Lord to examine me. Lord, show me if there are places in my life that I need to pay some attention to. Have I been neglecting the maintenance and it's starting to tell? Have I been neglecting my soul and the fuel now is starting to run low? I don't like riding with people that are comfortable driving on E. I know I've got another 12 and a half miles to go. Let's not take the chance. Let's just go ahead and fill up. Let's not drive on E. Let's not go through life on E. When I get to the point that I start to hear a sputter, I hope there's a gas station within sight. No, I'll roll into the gas station. Woo! Got by this time. Man, that gas is expensive. I'll put a gallon in it. I'm good to go for another 30 miles. What if there's not a gas station in 30 miles? You see the way we can act with our souls as well? Whenever I become careless with it, when I begin to get comfortable with the warning signs, those things that are designed to tell me, you need to take action. You need to deal with this thing. You need to seek me. You need to take care of these attitudes, this mindset, the way you've been reacting, the way that you've been acting. You need to take care of it. Because the Lord wants to warn us, and I believe He tries to. Before I get to the place that I'm on the side of the road, and I'm stranded and I broke down, and I say, now what do I do? I didn't plan for this. I didn't want this to happen. I didn't want to be broken down. Maybe it's a part of town that I really don't want to be broken down in. There were warnings. We heard about the disasters that happened, and there have been many others. And when you look back, there were almost always warning signs that were ignored. Titanic, there were warning signs. There should have been red flags over and over and over. Don't have enough lifeboats. Biggest warning flag was the men that said God Himself couldn't sink her. The telegraphs began coming in. Icebergs ahead. They were trying to send the telegraphs outbound to New York. We're on our way in. We're getting close. We'll be here at such and such time. And the one that was operating it received the message, tucked it under something else. I got so many more messages to send. Ignored the warnings. It's not really that important. This is the Titanic. So what if we do brush past an iceberg? We'll be all right. It's unsinkable. It's surely not as important as all this that I'm trying to deal with in life. How busy we can get with life sometime. All the other things that I can say, this is important. I need to take care of this. This is taking up my time. But so important that I ignore the warnings that are coming in. There's danger ahead. Take heed of the signs, the indicators, the signs of the time for myself in my life, that I not ignore the warning and find myself on the side of the road. You pray for me. Amen.